Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. It is Thursday. That means Dr. Ray is with us. Dr. Ray Kasheri is brought to you by AGA Medicare Options. Get a free no obligation consultation to get the right Medicare coverage for you. Go to AGAMedicareOptions.com. Dr. Ray Kasheri, how are you, sir?
Tim, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, but I had a nightmare last night, and it is COVID-related.
Uh-oh.
And here's what it is. We came on, we're doing the show, and at one point during the commercial break, you said to me, off the air, you go, look, I don't want to alarm anybody, but we're never going to ever have a vaccine for COVID.
Yeah, I don't believe that, Tim. That was somebody else. That might have been Dr. Fauci. I don't know. That wasn't me.
Okay. That's why it freaked me out. I woke up in a sweat. I'm like, oh, no. Dr. Ray, please say it ain't so. But look, there are a couple of the big companies, big pharma companies, and I don't like that term. That's always a negative connotation with that. But some of the big pharmacist companies have bailed out or at least slowed down or stopped or taking a step backwards. I think there's only two left, and one of them is Pfizer, and the other one is Moderna, I believe.
Yeah, but this is not unusual in terms of studies, Tim. Oh, okay. It actually, Eli Lilly's stopped their study. There was an antibody study, and when they get stopped like that, we don't actually know why they get stopped. Only the drug company and the FDA does, but there probably was some kind of a reaction. Now you've got to determine, was that reaction due to the antibody that was given, the experimental drug, or was the reaction unrelated?
Right.
If they decide it's unrelated, they'll restart the trial. The same thing happened to Moderna, and they did restart the trial. And I think Johnson & Johnson also stopped their trial. And they'll find out, okay, was whatever happened related? And if so, they could continue to keep it on hold. But if it's not related, they'll start the trial again. And I think that they're still proceeding. I think the vaccine is out there. And we know that the vaccine produces antibodies, and we know the antibodies clearly help. So I think it'll come.
You know, doctor, when a big pharmacy company like that, a big drug company stops the process or has to go backwards, is there a memo that goes out and everybody's depressed out of their mind because the momentum to getting this vaccine, there's such a high in energy and endorphins, I imagine, with that when it stopped? I mean, it's like a real punch, a gut punch.
Well, it absolutely. There's a memo that goes out. Everybody who's conducting the study has to know about it immediately. So it goes to all those people conducting the study. And, of course, once it does that, the word spreads dramatically.
Right.
But it's really not a gut punch for anybody who's done any kind of research because we're used to this kind of thing. This is how it goes. I mean, this is what science is all about. You try something, you observe, you correct, you observe, you correct. And that's pretty much how it is. So for
let me ask you a question.
Researcher, this is not a gut punch.
You've been involved, I imagine, and know the process better than almost anybody I know. When there's 500 people that work for Pfizer, are they all working on one solution or one, recipe? Or are there different factions on different floors working on different ideas and they do it piecemeal?
Oh, it's hundreds of factions working on hundreds of things. Yeah, these drug companies have to have drugs in the pipeline. And for every drug that makes it to market, there's hundreds of drugs that fail.
Right.
So it's a constant pipeline situation, and there's only a very small contingent working on this particular product. But that's normal, too.
Did you see the story that came out yesterday about the horseshoe crab?
No. What's the deal?
There's a horseshoe crab in, I think, in New Jersey or somewhere on the East Coast that has blue blood, and whenever it's attacked by, you know, any kind of virus, it instantly clots around that virus, and it has enabled the horseshoe crab to be around for 450 million years, and they're looking at that as a possible, you know, solution, where if you can get your blood to clot when it recognizes a, you know, a foreign substance, that might be the way to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of things like that in nature that we're looking at. And by the way, the human body does a very similar thing. Remember, this virus, though, it enters through your nasal mucosa or the mucosa of your eyes or mouth or lungs. So it doesn't actually get to your bloodstream until it's already entered cells in your body. So I'm not entirely, we're a little more complicated than the blue crab.
But
you know,
yeah, but okay, I'll give you that, doctor. But the blue crab has managed to be around 450 million years, and he has the leg up there.
Yeah, you got to admit, I kind of seriously doubt we're going to be around 450 million years.
No.
But you do have a point there. Yeah,
he's managed to make it happen through dinosaurs, through you know, apes, and the first, you know, species of mankind or whatever. This you know, horseshoe crab has been laughing all the way. He's been like, look, I'm here for a long, long time, and when you a-holes are all gone, I'm going to still be here.
Yeah, but he doesn't do much traveling, Tim.
<That's>
there's not a lot of traveling on that crab's itinerary, if you know what I mean.
That's right. No, he's a very small crab. And he's ugly as hell. I don't know what the dating is like, but it's tough to get another, you know, female horseshoe crab to hang with you because you're disgusting. But maybe the female horseshoe crabs are also disgusting, so they don't see beauty in the same way, you know, humans do.
The absolute beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
I guess so. Right. But
yeah.
That's quite a run. 450 million years. That is some run, man. All right, we got to take a quick break. I know you have a couple of topics that you want to go over. You texted me earlier, so we'll hit them all when we come back. Dr. Ray Kasheri is with us every single Monday and every single Thursday from 6 to 6:30 to try to talk you off the ledge when it comes to COVID. We'll come back and figure out where we are. We had two big a big protest and a big party this week. We had the protest with our Armenians, 100,000 people, and then we also had the party, the Laker party, with a couple of thousand people. And when we come back, I'll tell Dr. Ray, he probably already knows what Dr. Ferreira told these people to do, and we'll ask Dr. Ray how sure he is that people will not be listening to the good doctor this time around. KFI AM 640, it's the Conway Show, and Dr. Ray Kasheri is with us. Man, there's nobody like this Dr. Ray. It's being brought to you by AGA Medicare Options. Get a free no-obligation consultation to get the right Medicare coverage. Go to agamedicareoptions.com. Dr. Ray Kasheri, are airplanes safe to travel on right now? Would you feel safe flying?
Well, you know, I think airplanes are an absolute setup for transmission of the virus because you're in extremely close quarters,
right,
and you're in there for an extended period of time. Now, the shorter the flight, the better. I'm not too worried about airports because there's usually a lot of air exchange, but planes, I'm not too sure. However, the Defense Department and United Airlines undertook a study, and it wasn't on humans, it was models. And they took robots, mannequin-type robots, oh, and they put masks on them, and they put them in seats, and then they sprayed droplets through the masks, and they found out how fast those droplets cleared from the plane. And what they said was that they cleared extremely rapidly. 99.9% were gone within, 6 minutes.
Wow.
And then they also said that, therefore, it's safe to travel. Now, I'm not too sure about this because, you know, when you're on a plane, you're not wearing that mask 24/7. because you take it off to eat, you take it off to drink, you take it off, you know, to maybe explain something that people can't hear you through. And that's, of course, a dangerous thing if you're directly communicating to somebody. Some people don't wear their mask very well. The masks used in this study were the paper masks, and maybe the cloth masks aren't as effective. So I think that it's still something that if you have to travel by plane, go for it.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but two people on Biden's plane have either come down with or I think it was Harris's plane. One of the flight attendants and her press secretary.
Right. And of course, on Air Force One, they came down with it, too. So I'm not completely reassured by this Department of Defense study.
Right.
And I'm especially not reassured because it wasn't real world data. It was a model study based on robots. But anyway, I thought that it's good that your listeners know the data and they can make their own decision.
Dr.
Right.
Kasheri, can I just jump in and ask? We've
sure.
also gotten that information, and I think we've talked about it here, that the air on a plane filters so quickly, you know, every 2 minutes or whatever, that that's supposed to be sort of the saving grace. Does that make up for any of the concern or not so much?
No, I think it does. And the problem has been on planes that they recirculated the air. And they're not doing that anymore, so maybe that's going to help. Mm. The other thing is that you can put certain types of filters, certain HEPA filters and copper filters and so on, that will actually kill the bacteria. And, you know, I read the other day that I think it was Carrier Insurance Company is working with airplanes to try to improve the filtering capability of the air inside the plane. So I think it's going to get better and better and better. I would be much more reassured if I saw a real-world study as opposed to a model study.
Doctor, I know that you know this, and you know the question that people probably have while they're driving right now is it's impossible for airplanes to filter that air at 40,000 feet. There's not enough oxygen up there to recirculate and get new oxygen in. Everybody in the airplane would pass out.
That's right. Yeah, and that's why you have to recirculate some of it. But they have had flights at lower altitude where they exchange 100% of the air when they do test runs.
Right, but those flights,
trying to compare things.
Yeah, but those flights will be, you know, dodging office buildings, you know, on their way to New York.
Yeah, not quite, but yeah, you need oxygen above 10,000 feet. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay, now what about there's a study that came out of Yale. I'm sure you saw it because you read everything. The daycare is posing no risk. No risk.
Yeah, this was great news, and this study was from Yale University, and they sampled 57,000 daycare centers. Now, as opposed to the Department of Defense United Airlines study that we just talked about, this study is real world, and what they found out is that the children did not transmit the virus to adults. The adults in the daycare center got the virus at exactly the same rate as the general population.
Wow.
And the only safety measure that was taken was, hand sanitizer and masks on the adults. So this is really good news. And we kind of thought this is how this would turn out because we thought that young children were not good transmitters. And indeed, they're not. So that's really good news. So daycare centers transmit the virus, and that's great.
Yeah, that is terrific news because, you know, there are so many parents out there that have to get back to work, and they can't spend any more time at home with their kids. They literally have to go out and earn money again.
Absolutely. So that was a really really good study, and that's really good news.
And what about this one? Dr. Fauci said, screw your family this Thanksgiving. Nobody's coming
over. I know. I saw a bunch of headlines about this, so I decided to read it. What he actually said did make sense. He said, look, if you're going to have a large family gathering, that's risky because people who are traveling long distances, for example, on planes, you have a chance of bringing the virus in. So keep your family gathering small And in his particular situation, his daughters who have to travel are not going to come in for Thanksgiving. And I think that makes sense to keep your family gathering small, restrict it as much as possible to the people you've already been exposed to. And, you know, and look, if it's got to be people that you really don't know, you know, have the gathering outside. If you want, you can wear masks. I mean, you know, make sure that there's a lot of ventilation. And try to stay, you know, 3 feet apart, and you'll do fine. But the headlines made it sound like Dr. Fauci was canceling Thanksgiving, and I thought, wow, that's a lot of power. You know?
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. You know, I was watching television today, and I saw a wedding. Don't remember why it was on the news or on TV or whatever. Everybody who participated in the wedding was extremely overweight. The groom, the bride, the bridesmaids, the best man, the flower girl, everybody was, you know, probably morbidly obese, right? And I hate that term.
Okay.
But that's got to be, you know, a real sensitive thing where you can't, you know, you have to turn this wedding party down because everybody is susceptible to dying from COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, vulnerable people are susceptible. So people over 65 or over 70, people with diabetes, people who are extremely overweight, those people really need to be careful, and they really need to protect themselves. And if you're under 50, not so much of a worry, but you have to worry about transmitting it to somebody else.
Right. But everybody was the maid of honor, the bridesmaids, the best man, the groomsmen, the ushers, the bride's parents, the groom's parents, grandparents, the officials, the flower girl, ring bearer, readers, pagers, everybody. Everybody was huge. And they all got together, and there must have been 150 of them.
Yeah. And you know, that has the potential to be a super spreader event. Let's hope nothing happens. But hopefully they're all young. And hopefully it'll turn out okay.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
But you're right. That could be a super spreader event.
And one more thing before we go. Cases are up in the United States, but deaths are stable to down. Is that true?
Yes. And if you look at this, this is not unexpected. You know, this is still part of the college scene.
Right.
And lots more testing, and also people in the colder climates are starting to spend more time indoors,
so we're going
to see a little spike in the cases. Now, hopefully, the cases are in younger people who are the more active people who are going out more in the environment, and hopefully the more vulnerable populations, especially the older people, have learned how to protect themselves, but at the moment, deaths are down to flat, which is good. Because we don't want, obviously, people to die with this. So
sure.
The fact that cases are up is not unexpected.
And one more thing before we go. There were 100,000 people who are participating in a pro-Armenia rally. And Dr. Ferreira, who was our, you know, the L.A. County health director, had asked all of them, all 100,000, to stay at home, quarantine yourself for 14 days, and then take a COVID test. How are 100,000 people going to, first of all, quarantine themselves or stay home? I mean, how can you call your boss and just say, oh, I went to a rally, so I can't come in for the next 2 weeks?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, Tim, but she's going by the letter of the law.
Right.
And all of these rallies, protests, riots have the potential to spread COVID. There's no doubt about that. And we saw it after the riots that occurred earlier this year. We saw it after the protests earlier this year. We saw it after some of Trump's rallies. So they all right. have that potential. And she's trying to control that potential, but I don't think it's realistic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real real tough putt. Doctor, really appreciate you coming on, and we'll speak to you Monday. Have a great, great weekend, and we'll catch you at your favorite restaurant.
All right, Tim, you too. Take care.
All right, take care of yourself. There he goes, Dr. Ray Kasheri. Man, nobody's like that guy. Best doctor in the world, really cool dude. Jerry, man, nobody's like that guy. Best doctor in the world, really cool dude. All right, when we come back, Jane Wells is coming on with us, and she's got some good news for our economy. Plus, she went to Hawaii, right? How'd she do that? I think you had to quarantine for 14 days. Maybe that's over. Hint, hint. She'll tell us. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. One of our favorite guests is a lady named Jane Wells. And she is with us. Jane, welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm no lady.
That's why we refer to you as a lady. You're the anti-lady.
Exactly. No one's ever called me a lady, but thank you, Tim.
You're welcome. Hey, look, there's a first for everything. This is incredible, but you've actually gone to Hawaii. Is that correct?
No, I'm trying to go to Hawaii.
You're trying
to go.
So here's
the deal. Starting today, we have an old condo in Kona that we bought a year ago and haven't been able to go to since January. No. I mean, yes, I'm very blessed, but this is not, I'm kind of going on. So starting today, for the first time, Hawaii is letting you go there. You don't have to quarantine for 14 days. If you can come with proof that you had a negative COVID test within the last 72 hours, and then if you're going to the Big Island, all the flights are going through Honolulu. If you're going to Kona, once you land in Kona, the mayor of the Big Island makes you take an antigen test there at the airport for free. So it's not easy to do. Yeah, it's look, Hawaii's economy has collapsed. They shut down in March.
Right.
If you didn't quarantine for 14 days, they were busting people. And your neighbors were ratting you out. People were getting fined thousands of dollars for breaking the quarantine. So. But it's not, there was no place in LA to get a test until today with a certified partner that the state would recognize. So we had, Tim, you're not going to believe it. We live in Thousand Oaks. The closest place we could find to get a test today, because we're only Saturday, was a Walmart in Palmdale.
Oh my God. That's convenient.
So we drove 80 miles to stick a swab up our nose pray that we get the test result before we take off Saturday. And, of course, with my luck, I've been traveling like crazy the last few weeks all over the country on airplanes and hotels. You know, my luck, I'll pop positive, but I have zero symptoms.
Right. But once you get to Hawaii, if it's really down, and I believe you, 95%, it's going to be spectacular to be in some of those world-class hotels with the beach all to yourself.
Here's the thing about Hawaii. Okay, outside of Oahu and Honolulu, where, it's all tourism and they are really baking for the governor for months to open up. And this has been delay after delay after delay. The outer islands, they don't give a you-know-what. I mean, really, they're like, whatever. They were loving they love the fact that the mainlanders aren't there getting all drunk and trashing their beaches and, floating out there like a bunch of whales. It's been wonderful not having anybody there, but they are broke now.
That's right.
So the pressure's been on to get people back.
And they're going to have to probably offer pretty radical discounts to get people back there.
Well, so we're flying Hawaiian Air. So here's the deal. United had its COVID testing partner set up in San Francisco, but you can't fly up there through a connection to take it. Alaska's got one in Seattle. American has one in Dallas. Hawaiian was supposed to have a such test partner set up in L.A. by now.
Right.
No, it's not set up. It's really bumpy. And if you show up there with some negative test that wasn't by a, quote, trusted partner recognized by the state of Hawaii, you're SOL, you're going to have to quarantine. And here's the other thing they're doing, Tim. They're going to do randomly test up to 10% of people arriving 4 days after they arrive
with a
PCR test to see. And yeah, so our hope, fingers crossed, that we actually get to make it all the way there and that we'll have basically the plate. We'll be like the only people there that haven't been there for the last few months.
Right.
And most importantly, that people will be kind of happy to see us. That's a big question.
Yeah, right. Well, I've got a 3-word solution for you. Hyatt Huntington Beach.
No, here's the thing. We bought this ramshackle condo a year ago, okay? Now, I'm like, oh, poor me. We have been remodeling it, which is difficult even if you are on the Big Island.
Right.
From the mainland. And we just need to make sure it works. It's there. The appliances were actually plugged in. And I know I just can bet money, they're going to shut that island back down as soon as they can. So this is like our one window of opportunity. I know it's like, oh, woe is me, you and your condo and Kona, blah. I'm sorry. I worked very hard for this. I deserve this. And I want to go see if it's there.
Right. Now, when you're not using the condo, do you rent it out or do you just use it for your...
No. In this particular condo complex, they have some rentals. And by the way, people who have rentals, Airbnb, they are in a world of hurt because that business went away. And so there's going to be four... Believe me, people, there will be some good deals on condos in Hawaii now. I don't want anybody, you know.
I totally get
it. We don't have any furniture. By the way, we don't have any furniture.
You know what's always creepy, too, is when you rent somebody else's condo and they always have that one closet that's locked with all their stuff in it.
I just don't I've only done Airbnb a few times. And and I've had some good experiences, but generally there's like maybe a family odor, you know?
That's right. It's not necessarily bad. It's just, you know, that the family odor. Right. I get it. But, you know, my wife had one. She went up to Seattle for a wedding, and there was like 4 or 5 of them. So they're going to get an Airbnb. And they went into this condominium, and there were children's toys around, and on the kitchen table, there was a bowl with cereal and milk still on it.
Okay, that's a 1-star review. The very first Airbnb I didn't realize the family was there. I stayed in their upstairs bedroom, and they were all downstairs with their kids. I thought, what the heck? That was not what I was expecting.
That's not part of the deal, right? You don't get half the condo. All right, can you stay with us? I want to talk about the economy and the Long Beach port when we come back.
The Los Angeles port, yes.
Yes, okay, excellent. Yeah, Los Angeles port. Yeah, right. Okay, good. Jane Wells is with us. She's great. She's got a condo in Hawaii, and you don't. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Jane Wells is with us. She's always on CNBC. That's pretty cool. And the economy might be roaring back because the Port of Los Angeles is pretty, pretty busy. Is that right?
Yeah. Here's what's fascinating. So I finally went on a road trip vacation 3 weeks ago through the Southwest because I couldn't take it anymore. And my husband and I kept everywhere. There were trains, and they were all double stacked. So much cargo going across, mostly going east. And I called the Port of Los Angeles. And I said, man, what are your volume numbers like? And they told me this week they had their best September ever in terms of volume.
Wow.
They have had the best quarter ever in the history of the port. But it's all imports, Tim, and overwhelmingly from China. So the trade war, I mean, we're Chinese units here, what they call the standard 20-foot equivalent unit, they're up, they've more than tripled in September compared to a year ago. Exports are still down. So there's been this snapback after a horrible first 8 months of the year. And so what are we buying? Well, a lot of athletic equipment, but there's this one, these people who do all these data called Import Genius. Peloton imports are through the roof because we've all been at home. And in fact,
so was their stock.
A week ago, Well, yeah, exactly. A week ago yesterday, just one day, there were 38 standard containers worth of Pelotons that came to the U.S. Now, I don't know how many Pelotons you can get in a 20-foot container. But, yeah, that's the sort of thing. So part of this is pent-up demand after we weren't buying a lot of things. And part of it is just demand. People are working from home, school from home. You need computers for that. But right. It's one way. China's winning.
By the way, did you see Jane Wells is with us. Did you see Joy Behar this week talking about the economy?
No. What?
This is why she shouldn't talk about it. Joy Behar said at the end of the Obama administration, we had zero national debt. And everyone looked at her like,
no.
What?
No. No. Although, you know, the Trump admin, we got so much debt. And we're generating. Here's the thing. Nobody cares about the national debt right now because we're in this pit, and we're staying in this pit until we get a vaccine. But Joy Behar, that's like me trying to do stand-up. You know, hey, I think I'll try doing some comedy. Let's see how that goes.
You know, Jane, you know money better than most people. Is there a solution to the national debt, or is it just going to implode and explode one day, and we're all going to be broke?
You know, we've been talking about this since Ross Perot, you know? And the thing about the federal government is the federal government, unlike state governments, can print money. And so it's all made up debt. And then we sell our debt to ourselves or the Chinese.
Right.
Because in the entire world, at least, you know, we're going to make our interest payments. You know, we're the most dependable bet in the world. Does it ever? I don't know, Tim. But right now, no one cares.
Nobody
cares.
You're right.
We have to get through this.
But you know, my solution would be stop paying the interest on it and tell the Chinese if they want to come get their money, come and get it.
Well, the problem is they might do that.
That's right.
I don't want to face that in California because we'll be the first front.
You know, I was watching, I think it was Fox Business. I can't remember what it was, but it was in March. And, you know, when we had the big decline around March 20th to March 23rd, and somebody, I don't know if it's on Fox News or whatever, but somebody on a business channel said that the stock is going to be the lowest. They did all these calculations on August 7th. August 7th, it will be in the toilet. And it'll be the end of a lot of stocks. A lot of companies will go broke. Well, on August 7th, it was almost nearly at the same high as when it was before. So the person talking on TV was 100% wrong. But how can that possibly be? How do we rely on these people who are financial experts and they're guessing?
I know. We have, and I'm not going to name him, a guy that we put on the air probably every week who says, you know, Facebook is going to get it. Facebook is the end is coming for Facebook.
Right.
And, you know, good luck. You know, and what gets me is when these people come back on, occasionally we hold them accountable, but mostly we don't. You know, I would like to say, you know, because then they wouldn't come back on. Well, good. They shouldn't come back on.
Well, there's a guy on NBC, and I can't remember his name, but he does their national polling for them. And he said that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide, and he only gave Donald Trump 62 electoral votes, and Clinton had, like, I don't know, a billion or whatever, right? Yeah. He was off by about 300.
Everybody, except I think, to tell you the truth, the USC LA Times poll was the only one that was right in 2016, if I have that right.
Right.
But they've learned what I was talking to, Frank Luntz, you know, what pollsters have learned since 2016 is to separate the white working class voter from the white college educated voter. I don't know. Somehow they think they're smarter this time.
Right.
But look, none of us know. And we've all voted. I already voted.
Right.
Did you already vote?
I voted. And I put it in the Dropbox a couple days ago. But this guy who does all the polling for NBC was off by, I think, like 240 electoral votes. And guess where he is this year? Doing the same job for NBC.
But we've learned. Look, we've learned. And I also think, to be honest, of course, who talks to these pollsters? Would you give a pollster? I think Trump voters are more honest now about, like, yeah, I'm voting for him again, whereas in 2016 they didn't want to admit it. I don't know.
We'll see, though. It's going to be fascinating, though. I can't wait for November 3rd, and I can't wait for all these commercials to leave my television set, too.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, it's good for radio, right?
It's good for radio. The one guy I love is the black dude for Proposition 23. He's my favorite guy, and I voted for him when he says when he said something like, "Oh, here it is. I found it. Here it is."
Is that the kidney?
Vote no.
No, he goes, "Please vote no.
Please."
Is that the dialysis one?
Yes. Yeah, he's the dialysis guy.
Please.
Yeah.
Vote no.
And so I like that guy so much. I'm voting for him.
Yeah. No, he's really impressed. And plus, then you've got the president of Mothers Against Drunk Driving saying, "No, come on, we got to keep Uber."
Yeah,
vote
that's right.
For 22 because
I wonder what that
we don't want
them.
People driving drunk. Or, hey, look, they're spending so much money. If they could put that money actually and pay their Uber drivers, there wouldn't be an issue.
They're spending $185 million on that proposition or on that measure.
And I have to tell you, the Uber and Lyft thing, that horse has left the barn. I mean, or whatever it is. You are never going to put that business model back in the genie, in a bottle, whatever.
Right.
I love Uber. Look, I've had a couple of margaritas. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? If you have a couple of bucks, I would gamble maybe on buying, Lyft stock. It's at $23 or $24 a share. And if that Proposition 22 wins, that might go up $10 in a day, you know?
Well, let me know how that goes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Kona Jane. Thank you for coming on. Your new nickname.
Aloha. Mahalo.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Jane.
Okay.
All right. There she goes. Jane Wells. Kona Jane. Brand new condo there. And she played it down, but I bet it's spectacular. Jane Wells and her husband only go top shelf. Top shelf with those people. All right. That was cool. It was a good first hour. Dr. Ray and Jane Wells. When we come back, we have a retired homicide detective, and his father was killed. He was at LAPD a detective, I believe, as well, or it was an officer, but he was killed back in 1983 in the line of duty at the Lakeview Terrace. And the person who killed him might be let out of prison. And so it's Kenneth Earl Gay and the co-defendant, Raymond Cummings. If they don't refile charges by December 14th, if the prosecutors don't refile, those two guys could walk out of prison. So we'll talk to him when we come back. Retired homicide detective Ryan Verna. We're live on KFI AM 640.
It's Timmy time!
Get your ass, Timmy! Lamb with a lot to learn. He's always having such a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Timmy, little lamb with a lot to learn.
It's Timmy time.
KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. Quick Dodger update. Spoiler alert, 5 seconds if you're taping the game. 4, 3, 2, 1. In the sixth inning, bottom of the sixth inning, Atlanta is up right now. The L.A. Dodgers 1, Atlanta Braves 3. So we'll keep an eye on that game for you. All right. We have a special guest here. A friend of mine, Oscar, texted me and said, hey, can you have this guy on, Ryan Verna? His father is a police officer that was killed in 1983 in Lakeview Terrace. And the two guys that were responsible, both Kenneth Earl Gay and the co-defendant, Raymond Cummings, might be getting out of prison soon. So welcome to the show. Ryan, how are you, sir?
Doing well, sir. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
X, I really appreciate coming on. I imagine not a day goes by where you don't relive this. Even though you were, you know, 5 years old, I imagine you probably still remember what your mom and your family went through.
I do. I have certain memories, and they're very few and far between. But yeah, it's a daily occurrence of reliving this.
Now, how did this happen? If they've convicted both guys of doing this, how are they possibly getting out of prison?
So let me give you a little background. Sure. It's actually just one of the killers that's that may get out. The other one is currently on death row. He's run of appeals, and if the state of California ever got with it, he would be executed.
Right.
So yeah, this is just the one individual named Kenneth Gay. The California State Supreme Court has overturned his guilty verdict twice. And this last time, it's taken 13 years for the state of California to figure out how they were going to proceed. So we learned about the original issue happening in 2007, and now it's 2020, and here we are. So it's been a long time.
And are they certain which one of the two guys was the trigger man?
Well, that's always been the bone of contention. Witnesses have said that both men actually fired at my father.
Right.
One person was actually shot him while seated in the vehicle, passed the gun to the other, who ultimately executed my father in the street.
Wow. Unbelievable. And that was back in 1983. And I think that's pretty cool that even though that happened, you decided to take after your dad and became a police officer and then onto a detective yourself.
Yeah, so my dad was actually a motor officer, and not only myself was on the job, but my brother also was a motor officer. So It was a family deal for us.
What are the circumstances around it? Is it somebody that did he just pull somebody over? Was it a vehicle stop?
Yeah, so what happened was my dad was a motor officer. He was out working traffic enforcement by himself for that day. Happened to see a vehicle that failed to stop for a stop sign and decided to stop the vehicle. There was a female driver and two male passengers. The female didn't have ID, so she was pulled out, asked what her name was. She provided her name, and when he went to go verify with the passengers, that's when he was shot. And these men, unbeknownst to my father, had done a series of takeover robberies of businesses in the San Fernando Valley. And they were brutal robberies where people were pistol whipped, and it was, you know, they're just violent people, and that's the issue here. This person, Kenneth Gay, has been a violent person his entire life, and wow. He still poses a risk to the people of the state of California.
So how can people assist you here, and how do you turn the volume up to make sure he never, you know, gets out of prison?
Well, that's what we're asking. You know, we're asking people to do is just basically reach out to the DA's office. The DA at this point has the final say so on how they want to proceed, and they have until December to make their decision on if they're going to retry this case or not. You know, so writing to the DA, Jackie Lacey, or any of the subordinates over there would definitely help out.
Right.
That's all we can do.
Right. And so when you became an officer, how long were you on? Were you on for 30 years, 25 years?
No, I did 20 years. 20 years, retired, and got out of the state of California.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great. Where'd you decide to go?
Out here in Arizona.
Ah, yeah. I think most of LAPD is out in Arizona. Or
Idaho.
Oregon or Washington or, you know, or Nevada.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, because the pension goes a long way. I imagine, I don't know what you pay for gas in Arizona, but it's, you know, it's probably $3.25 here. I bet in Arizona, it's probably less than $2.
Yeah, I pay premium. It's about $2.50. So
that's incredible.
So not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where, so Arizona, did you go to the big city or did you get a place out in the wilderness?
It's a little mix of both, so it's okay. It works out very nice for us. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's nice. I mean, I bet you got a boat and you like the being on the river and the whole run. But good for you. I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, I think that police officers, EMTs, firemen, you know, the sheriff's department, you can you deserve every dime of your pension, if not more. And you could point to probably 100 different instances where you earned every dime of your pension on that one day, whether it's saving a child from a burning car or somebody from a house or, you know, protecting somebody from a lunatic with a gun. It's the only profession and again, firemen, EMTs, and cops, the only real profession where you can point to one instant where you deserved every dime of what you're getting right now.
Well, Tim, I really appreciate that. And in this day and age, it goes a long way to say something like that publicly. So thank you.
Hey, do you ever make it back here at all to visit or go to reunions?
Well, I was actually supposed to go back tomorrow for this hearing. And, unfortunately, I won't be able to attend. I got sick. And I'm sitting here at the house. So.
Oh, dude. Oh, I hope it's not the big one, big COVID.
But, it is the big one. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
You got COVID, huh?
I did, yeah.
Oh, man. Do you know how you got it? You think you know how you got it?
Well, I was out in Vegas, so I think that's probably how it happened.
Oh, boy. All right.
I wore a mask the most I've ever worn it, and I'm pretty sure it happened out there.
Yeah, well, you know what? I read a stat the other day. I saw it on TV. I think Tucker was talking about this, that 85% of people who got COVID also either wore masks all the time or often. Isn't that crazy?
I saw that myself. Yeah, very interesting.
That's wild. I mean, that's a wild stat that 85% of the people who caught COVID were doing the right thing.
I agree.
Yeah,
interesting.
But any side effects, or did you have? How did it make you feel?
Yeah, just a little headache and some congestion. That was about it for me.
Yeah. Well,
luckily, my wife and kids didn't get it. So.
Oh, that's great. How long do you have to quarantine now? Are you in your fifth day, sixth day?
I got three more days to go, and then retest. So,
all right, then you're at the tail end of it. All right, well, we'll be on top of this. Have you set up a website or an email or any kind of social media on this yet?
There's no official social media or anything like that for it. Okay. This all kind of started as a grassroots campaign that we were putting out to other police officers and other people we know. So. But no, there's not. And the only thing I can tell you to do is write the DA's office if you feel strongly about it.
Excellent. All right. I really appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry you had to deal with this. And I hope, these guys, stay in prison forever. When you take out a police officer, then nobody's safe. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I agree.
All right. God bless you and your brother and your family. And is your mom still with us?
She is.
Oh, that's great. Okay, and that really is cool. Do you get a chance to see her often?
I do. She's actually in my area, so it works out.
Well, that's awesome. Oh, that's great, man. That's really cool. Yeah. All right, there's a nice ending to the story then, I really appreciate you coming on.
She's a huge fan of Dorf on Golf, so.
Okay.
And so was I. So
all right. Maybe I'll have to send you one of the latter ones. It was Dorf on Fishing. It was Dorf on the Olympics, Dorf on
Absolutely.
Auto racing. Yeah, a whole bunch of them. All right, I really appreciate it. God bless you and your family. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Timmy. Appreciate
it. Okay, take care. All right, that is that's a story that you're going to see in the news here in the next couple of weeks. Officer Ryan Verna, retired homicide detective, when he was 5 years old, back in June of 1983 in Lakeview Terrace, his dad was gunned down. And one guy is on death row, and the other guy could be, Kenneth Earl Gay, could be getting out of prison unless the DA refiles the case. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Well, we're going to have a small party at Morongo. Very small. Only five people are going to win the VIP experience, and you can all bring a friend. So a total of 10 people. If you did the math before me, congratulations. It's going to be October 26th from 6 to 10 p.m. Just go to KFIAM640.com and look up the keyword Morongo, Morongo, and then enter your name, and you could win the contest. Here's what you're going to win if you're selected. VIP seating at the broadcast. At least 6 feet away from me. VIP seating for two. Food and drink at the broadcast. Hotel voucher for future one-night stay at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. and a $200 voucher at Cielo. Been getting that wrong. I call it Cielo, but it's Cielo. That's the AAA Four Diamond Award-winning Cielo restaurant. That's one way up on top of the hotel. And you have to enter the contest to win. There's only five winners. VIP area is limited to 10 people. Playing it safe. And you have to be 21 years old. So go sign up, right? Someone's going to win. Might as well be you. KFIAM640.com. And then you got to hit the keyword there. Search for Morongo. Morongo! Petros is coming on with us at 8 o'clock to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers. And other sports. But it's not going well for the Dodgers. The Dodgers were tied 1-1. And then Atlanta came up in the sixth inning. They're still at bat. And they scored at least six runs in the sixth inning. Gonzalez is pitching, number 81 for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there's two outs. There's man on first and second. And the Dodgers have to get out of this inning down by six if they got any shot here. It's amazing, huh? The Dodgers scored 11 runs in the top half of the first inning yesterday. And through six innings, they have one run. Unbelievable, right? Should have saved some for today. So the Dodgers, if they lose this, they go down 3-1. Very, very tough to come back three games to one, especially Atlanta. Great pitching and fantastic offense as well. So keep an eye on it for you. All right, another jetpack has been seen over LAX, but some people are saying this might be a lie. This may not be true because of the altitude. They were at 6,000 feet when this pilot, I think from China Air, saw the jetpack. Let's find out what's going on here, man.
In an area where there's a lot of airliners.
This is the second time in just over a month pilots have reported seeing a person in a jetpack near LAX.
For American 1997, we just passed a guy in a jetpack.
Yeah, but see, that guy was at 3,500 feet.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That makes more sense. But at 6,000 feet, I don't know. I'm not buying it.
For American 1997, we just passed a guy in a jetpack.
That is audio from the last incident that happened on August 30th. Then two pilots reported seeing a person in a jetpack about 3,000 feet in the air near the Cudahy Southgate areas.
How is it that nobody saw them take off and land? That's what I don't understand, because these machines are pretty noisy.
David Maimon is the CEO of Jetpack Aviation. He says it's nearly unheard of for a jetpack to get that high without very careful planning and safety measures.
We would never fly, very high without a parachute system or at 6,000 feet, because it would just take us too long. We'd run out of fuel.
Maimon believes what the pilot saw may be.
So he's saying that they would run out of fuel by the time they got to 3,500 feet. Well, the Air China pilot saw him at 6,000 feet. There's no way that that happened. Not a chance in the world.
Maimon believes what the pilot saw may be an electric drone set up to look like a jetpack. But he says the industry is quickly evolving, and you just never know what is possible.
You can't rule out anything here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty easy to rule out it was a jetpack. They're extremely noisy. They don't have the fuel to get up to that altitude. And somebody in a big city would have heard it or seen it on the ground. You cannot fly a jetpack in your neighborhood without everybody calling each other going, what the hell was that? You know, it's like that. It's like when the Air Force lands one of those, Hellcats at Burbank Airport. It rattles the windows of everybody in Burbank. I mean, you literally can hear it miles from the airport. And if you're in the flight path right there, you're right under the final approach there for the Burbank runways. It feels like an earthquake. And that's a big heavy Navy or Air Force jet. And this jetpack is noisy as hell. So I doubt that anyone took off, got up to 3,500 feet, and then landed successfully without anybody seeing him. That's nearly impossible. Well, I'm going to say it's impossible. How about that? All right, very good. We're live. We have a great big rest of the show coming up. We have a lot of guests tonight. Heavy, heavy guests tonight. We got Petros coming up from the Petros and Money Show. He's a really cool dude. So we'll speak with him. And I believe he's coming on at 8 o'clock. Yes. Yeah, Petros at 8 bells. And so he's going to be on with us for a couple segments, which is cool. Love that dude. KFI AM 640. Conway Show, not looking good for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're down 7-1 in the seventh inning. And if they lose this game, they'll go down 3-1 in the best of seven series, and that's not good at all. All right, we got some other news for you here. Wells Fargo, right? They're actually, if you get caught trying to defraud the government with your unemployment check, they're going to fire your ass. Yeah, they don't like you at Wells Fargo. You got to get the hell out.
Wells Fargo says it's fired more than 100 employees who reportedly tried to swindle coronavirus relief money. The bank announced the move in an internal memo on Wednesday, which was obtained by CNN. Now, it says the employees misrepresented themselves to obtain money from a federal relief fund for small businesses. However, the document says those workers acted on their own, and the move did not involve Wells Fargo customers.
Oh, I see what they're doing, right? They were in charge of, like, the paperwork to try to get people loans, but they were fudging some information, and 100 people got fired. Now that's on your resume. Now people know it's going to be very, very difficult to find another job at a bank. Wow. Somebody goofed. And if they fired 100, that means there are a lot more people that didn't get caught at different banks. This could be the tip of the iceberg. With people trying to get that free money, right? You see all these millions and billions and trillions of dollars coming out of Washington. You're like, got to get a scoop of that. And if you do it and you work for a bank, you could get fired, right? And if you get fired, it sucks, man. What are you going to get another job in a bank? You're not. All right, Nike is suing a street brand, probably a copyright issue, right? That's my instinct here. Let me see if I'm right.
Well, Nike is accusing an L.A. streetwear brand of selling fake versions of its own sneakers.
Oh, they took it a step further.
And a trademark lawsuit filed.
Yeah, trademark lawsuit. Yep, got it. Yep. I've been in the game for a while. Talk radio for a while. You can smell these stories, right? Stories.
In a trademark lawsuit filed in federal court last night, Nike claims this shoe and others from the brand Warren Lunas are too similar to their famous Nike Dunk sneakers. In the complaint, Nike accuses Warren Lunas of using trademarks associated with the Dunk shoes, and they say the design on the side of the shoe is too close to its famous swoosh design. Nike is seeking damages.
What, too close to what?
Too close to its famous swoosh design.
Swoosh. Swoosh. There it is. Is it swoosh or swoosh?
Swoosh design.
Swoosh.
Famous swoosh design. Nike is seeking damages and a stop to the sale and production of the sneakers. We reached out to Warren Lottis and are still waiting to hear back.
Oh, boy. The big dog is pissed, right? That shoe, I guess, is too close. They want you to stop doing it, man. They're in the shoe game. You got to find some other game. They'll come after you. All right, if you live in Newport Beach, they're going to start to fine you if you're going over the speed limit. And what's the speed limit in Newport? Like a Balboa Island, Newport area? 8 miles an hour. You can walk 8 miles an hour.
People are going like 20 miles an hour. You see those people.
Whoa, 20 miles an hour? How do you even see the guy? I mean, by the time you hear him and see him, he's gone. 20 miles an hour? Woo! I'm surprised you can even catch him.
People are going like 20 miles an hour. You see those people. They definitely should get nailed with something.
Oh, yeah. 20 miles an hour? What, are you kidding?
Well, soon they will.
What had been a $50 fine is going to go up to $200.
The city of Newport Beach just voted to quadruple the fines for riding a bike or scooter on the oceanfront boardwalk at speeds greater than 8 miles an hour.
All right, so it's not even driving. It's a scooter or a bike. If you're going over 8 miles an hour, you're done.
Well, I actually don't know how fast 8 is on here, but I think I was definitely going faster than that.
Hannah Chipman from Los Angeles rented her bike.
I feel like as long as you're cautious,
you know what? I don't think we've ever seen this before, but this law could create the first high-speed bike chase, right, where a guy was going like 16 or 15 on his bike, and the cops on their bike start to give chase, and game on, right? Here we go.
Yeah, I think if you're chasing someone on a bike, you have to be on a bike too.
Yes,
you can't be allowed, in a car. Yeah, you can't just pull in front of them.
No, no. As a matter of fact, you're at an extreme disadvantage if you're in a car because the guy could go into parking lots and the parks and school you that way.
That's right.
But yeah, so he's got to be on a bike. But I would love to see, you know, Stu Mundell high over Newport where a bike is being chased by four other cops on bikes.
That'd be awesome, and
they try to pit him. You know, they try to hit his tire and flip his ass over.
And not that it's cool. funny, but maybe a little yakety sax in the background.
That's right. Yeah, perfect.
Fine. A $200 fine would really kind of put a damper on a little day trip, though.
But some locals who have watched the COVID crowds hit their beaches all summer and even now on a warm fall night say something has to be done.
I think it's great. There's a lot of reckless bike riding.
Yeah.
Mainly because people are in town. They don't know the rules of the boardwalk, obviously. And the signs aren't working, so they have to step it up a little bit.
I've seen some pretty fast guys going. These electric bikes are what's and scooters are what's dangerous. But I don't know if they're enforcing it enough. You know, I've only seen two policemen on bikes in the last 2 months.
Lauren and Ryan Brierly walk the boardwalk almost every evening.
Sometimes even get run over. Like, we're walking, and we try to scoot to the side and have people, just three or four different bikes coming up on one side. Just speeding by.
But a $200 fine,
and how fast
they
going?
Is too much.
Nine?
Victimless crimes are nothing but a revenue generator anyway. And if somebody got hit, then they should be responsible.
It's not about trying to punish anyone. It's not about trying to make more money for the city. It is to address safety concerns on the oceanfront boardwalk.
There you go. All right, so you can't go faster than 8 miles an hour, or else you could get pulled over, and that could be the end of you. That's a pretty hefty fine. But yeah, Gina's right. If there is a high-speed chase, this has to be the there has to be background music. And it's got to be the Benny Hill theme song. Here we go. Pull it over. Yes, you on the 10 speed. You're going 9 miles an hour. Throw off the spike strip. Let's try to pit this guy before he gets into Costa Mesa.
No time for the spike strip. Get the banana peel.
Oh, he's off his bike. Now he's trying to bike jack another guy. Grab him! 8 miles an hour. Guy's going 9 miles an hour, and he gets pulled over. And it costs him $200. Yeah, you go before the judge. How do you plead? I don't know. I thought it was 8, but the cop said 9. Maybe it was 9.
He clocked me at 10.5.
How'd he catch you? He just ran after me and grabbed my back seat. I have a banana seat. He grabbed the back of it. Well, where did he put your ticket? I mean, it looked like you were just wearing a Speedo. Yeah, I had my basket in the front.
Yeah.
And then I hit the bell and I was gone.
And Judge, the man knew I was coming up behind him. He clearly heard the of my bell.
Exactly.
I dare anyone to be in a bad mood who's listening to Yakety Sax right now.
Frank, there's another one coming towards you. We clocked him at 9.5. And then you got to worry about the license on your bike, and is it registered to you, and the whole run.
Yeah.
Oh, problem. Just go to Newport, or Huntington Beach, I guess. Ride your bike up there. All right, very good. We're live on KFI AM 640. More with Gina Grant. KFI AM 640's Conway Show. Dodgers have just scored. So it's 7-2 Dodgers in the seventh inning with two outs. Keep an eye on that game for you. Brain fog. A lot of people are complaining about brain fog. All right, you're just during COVID, you're not in your, you have no routine, and you just forget stuff. Forget where your keys are. You forget about appointments. You don't really know what day it is. I go through that every single day, and it sucks. Well, let's find out a little more about it, huh? Brain fog.
Most of us have probably experienced brain fog at one time or another.
Yeah.
It can affect your ability to function and focus, and it can be incredibly frustrating.
Joining us to talk about possible causes and solutions on how to get rid of brain fog once and for all is the sleep doctor, Dr. Michael Bruce. Dr. Bruce, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see everybody today. Hopefully nobody's suffering from brain fog between the two of you.
Not any more than usual.
Right.
You say some people may be having brain fog and they don't even know it. So what are the symptoms?
So first of all, it's like this difficulty concentrating. A lot of people seem to have that. And then it's sort of this almost overall feeling of disorganization. Like,
yep.
Where did my keys go?
Yeah, where did my money go? Where's my wallet?
You know, where are my flip-flops for the day? You know, that kind of thing. But
I don't know about that. I think people know where their flip-flops are.
You know, where are my flip-flops for the day? You know, that kind of thing. But it's scattered.
That's kind of a first world, you know, problem.
Tim,
God.
I'm so sorry I'm the last one that ever wants to crap on your point, but I am literally in dress shoes because I couldn't find my flip-flops. I just sent you a picture.
You gotta be kidding.
I swear. I'm running around. I'm asking the kid. I'm asking Annie, where are my flip-flops? And I couldn't find them, so I just walked out in the dress shoes that were next to the door.
God, that is so great. What horrible timing.
I'm gonna send you the picture.
That's great.
All right, sorry.
I'm in flip-flops. I'm not in my dress shoes.
I'm in dress shoes.
Awesome. That is great, man. That is such great timing. Woof.
You know, where are my flip-flops for the day? You know, that kind of thing. But it's this scattered feeling and not ability to concentrate or ability to focus, especially when you're trying to do a particular task. Mundane tasks don't seem to be as bad, but if you're trying to do something that requires any thought process, it's definitely difficult.
Oh, my gosh, doctor, that's every day.
Yeah, it is every day. Jessica Holmes, man, she's right.
Oh, my gosh, doctor, that's every day. And I think a lot of people probably say the same thing, like, that's me. You say that one of the top reasons why we suffer from brain fog has to do with sleep, which makes sense. But does it just mean we're not sleeping enough?
No, it actually means that we're not sleeping at the right time.
Mm.
So you guys have been so great in talking with me about chronotypes, which is obviously a big thing for me.
Now there's a time to sleep? You sleep and you're tired during corona.
For folks out there to remember, chronotypes are that internal genetic sleep schedule. Are you an early bird? Are you a night owl?
Yeah, night owl.
Could you be something else?
No.
If you wake up at what is your genetic wake-up time, guess what? No more melatonin is flowing through your brain in the morning.
Mm.
That's one of the biggest factors for brain fog, is when you wake up, but your melatonin production continues, that makes it very difficult to be able to concentrate on just about anything.
But a lot of us have to go against chronotype just because of our work schedules.
Right.
What can we do to fight the brain fog if we have to go against chronotype?
Great question.
So one of the biggest things that I ask people to do is when you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. you have to do three things.
Listen to this. When you wake up in the morning, this is the sleep doctor. He knows who he's talking about, I imagine, right? When you wake up, you got to do three things.
So one of the biggest things that I ask people to do is when you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. you have to do three things.
I bet I do none of them.
You got to breathe.
Okay, I do one of them.
You have to drink water and you have to get light exposure.
Oh, I do all three. I have water that I keep next to the bed. So I breathe, right? I do that. Oh, I do that just 24 hours a day. I just enjoy doing that. But I also get the water that's next to the bed. I drink water, and I open up the drapes to get some light.
Right. So breathing.
I'm 3 for 3, and I still have brain fog. So what kind of doctor is this?
Right. So breathing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't know what we want to do. We want to get a couple of maybe 5 or 7 really good deep breaths in before we stand up in the morning. Kind of get our respiratory system going. That actually helps bring oxygen to the brain, which helps begin to relieve some of that brain fog. Hydration becomes a big factor. As all of you know, sleep is a dehydrative event.
I didn't know that. I didn't know sleep was a dehydrated event.
Sleep is a dehydrative event.
Wow.
We lose almost a full liter of water just from the humidity in our breath.
So really? That's why when you're... Oh, I see. Okay, that's interesting. You lose about a liter of water through just breathing at night.
So drinking about 20 ounces of water is going to be very, very helpful. And then if you can, get 20 minutes of light exposure. That might be sunlight here in Los Angeles. It's a beautiful day. But if you're in, let's say, upstate New York, it might be a little cold. Go ahead and use bright lights. You can even use light therapy to help stop that melatonin production and allow you to think clearly.
That's right. That's good advice. We got to get this guy. Hey, Belio, let's try to get this sleep doctor on. This guy knows what he's talking about.
He's really interesting. He's been on the Carolla Show before. And
oh, that's cool.
You're going to have to take a test,
right?
And you can do it online. And it basically just says, like, are you I think it's bear, owl, and you're one of like
the
three
animals. The third one's an a-hole.
Exactly. Yes. Right. And that will determine when you should go to bed and when you should wake up in the morning.
Well, you gave me this other quiz to take, the narcissist.
Oh, yeah. The Dr. Drew's narcissist quiz.
Yeah. We should do that on the air. I scored an 11. Is that good, bad, or indifferent? I don't know.
Oof.
No good or good?
I don't know. We have to look it up.
Oh, bubble. All right. But on it, he said that the person, the celebrity who scored the highest was Robin Quivers.
And I've told him over and over, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with that test. Howard, please. Please, you understand. I'm not a narcissist. I'm the best sidekick in town.
That's so great. It's so dead on.
Thank you.
That really is cool. We got to go back to doing that. The long ass news, right?
Oh, Chris Little would love it.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, well,
look, he's the king of improv. He'll enjoy it.
Oh, sure.
Okay, well, to Frank's point, going against your chronotype, if that happens, you explain the reasons why we feel the way we do. But are there other reasons that we could be suffering from brain fog?
Okay, that's a good place to stop. We'll come back and we'll figure this out. But this is good. Right, there's a lot of great information here about from the sleep doctor with the brain fog and how to wake up, breathe, get 5 to 7 really good breaths, get some water in you, and get some sunlight. Let's try it. Let's all try this tomorrow. Maybe we'll feel better. Maybe not. Who knows? But let's try it. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640. Well, the Dodgers did not score with bases loaded and 2 outs. In the 7th inning, Atlanta came up in their first at bat. Guy hits a shot over center field fence. So it's 8-2 Atlanta over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Ladies and gentlemen, Petros from the Petros and Money Show. Petros Papadakis, how are you, sir?
Hello, Tim.
Nice
Hello,
to hear
everybody.
Your voice, buddy. I love having you on as a guest on the program.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to come on, and I've been watching the games, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Now, when you watch a game like on a Saturday or a Sunday, and your wife wants you to do something around the house, do you ever say to her, honey, I'm working. I'm watching the game because it's work.
Well, she knows I would rather do other things. So if she sees me watching a sporting event, she knows that I'm working. Because,
right.
Sadly, it's been work since I was 9. So, you know, I mean, look, I've always been when I was a younger person, I really was a sports fan. I collected football cards.
The same way.
Yeah, I really loved the sport of pro football. I lived and died with USC. But, you know, I tell people this all the time, and I bled for the teams I played on, for God's sakes. But
physically,
I never cared more about a football team than when I was the water boy at Rolling Hills High School.
Wow.
For 2 years. My dad was the defensive coordinator. My older brother was a big-time recruit linebacker, and I ran the water out, and those guys were 15, 16, and I became a much better football player than any of those guys, you know, when I grew up, maybe not right. My brother. But those guys are still, from all the football I watch and I'm around and all the sports I cover, those kids, and that's what they were, you know, they were 16-year-old kids, and I was 12. They're like giants to me still.
Oh, yeah.
And when they succeeded, it was so fulfilling. And my father and my mother, our whole family rejoiced. You know, we just lived in that weird little high school football bubble, you know, and you live with every set of downs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I used to listen to the drums. I'd play the drums in my head all week instead of concentrating in Lutheran school. And then I'd get on the field on Friday night with my water. And
that's keep a great it cold. Story, dude.
Hey, well, yeah, now, the sad thing is they came out with the water boy, and I was so much like the very emotionally stunted character. And everybody at that time, I was on the USC football team, right. And I think I was the captain, and they all laughed at me. It was horrible.
Oh, that's awesome. Did anybody you played with, like on USC or on your team, ever go on to real stardom in the NFL?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I played with and against a bunch of Pro Football Hall of Famers. The
really?
First game I scored a touchdown in was Drew Brees' first start, and we beat him.
Who did Drew Brees play for?
Purdue.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Boilers. Yeah, Boilers. He's out of Texas.
Didn't his dad play for – no, did his dad play or not?
No. He has a tumultuous family past, and I'll leave you to look it up.
Okay.
But his first start ever was actually the hottest game in the recorded history of the L.A. Coliseum.
Is that right?
Nobody was talking about global warming. It was 130 degrees on the field.
Oh,
I had to get a shot at halftime in my shoulder because my shoulder popped out.
Oh.
And there were four cheerleaders on IVs and a couple of the tuba players. I'm not kidding. And Troy Polamalu was on our team. He's an NFL Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
You know, the long Ed Carson Palmer, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, Matt Castle.
Right.
I mean, I played with most of the guys I played with spent some time in the NFL.
Are you friends with any of those guys? You text these guys or talk to them?
You know, my media stuff really right off the bat, because I got on the radio way too early and burned
right.
every bridge. Maybe you can relate with this.
That's right. Exactly.
I got on the radio on a daily basis when I was like 24, 25 years old
right.
and in L.A. And, you know, I had 2-3 hours to fill, and I ruined my life.
Right.
And
well, everybody else's. People will understand if you're like a homer and you'll wash right out of radio. You know, everything's great, everything's lovely. You know, the sports director is great, the coach is great. You do that for 2 years and you're gone.
Yeah, I took the job way too seriously, and probably have. I don't take myself very seriously, but I take the job very seriously. And
right.
Needless to say, I took a flamethrower to a lot of bridges. I'm on a bunch of text chains, like USC football alumni text chains.
Right.
And I'm scared to reveal that it's me.
Oh, that's wild.
No. I mean, I don't know. I talk to you more than I talk to anybody.
Oh, that's
in
cool.
my life almost, you know, because of our relationship through the show. Like I am not, I'm much like the A-team, very unavailable.
Right. All right. Petros is with us from the Petros and Money Show over there, KLAC 570. What is the elephant walk at USC? I've heard somebody talk about that.
Tim, you might have me mistaken with a person who was in a fraternity. I was the captain of the football team at USC in the 90s, which was basically, I mean, I might as well have been a black guy. And we were not welcome in those days, believe it or not. I've heard about what it is, but I think you already know.
Okay.
I just have to say that I believe peanut butter is involved.
It is an odd thing. I wonder if it still goes on. There's no way it can be. I never understood it.
You know, when I was, and I'm going to offend a lot of your listeners because there's a lot of people that had, and a lot of people I love very much that had very good experiences in the quote-unquote Greek system,
right.
Which to me is insulting to say because I'm really Greek.
Sure.
But a lot of people I know have had great experiences through it. But I never, when I was at USC, I didn't get it because I was with a group and we were forced to be in that group. You know, I mean, we wouldn't be there if we weren't in that group.
You already had your own fraternity. It's a team.
Right. And we had basically a 10-hour-a-day job that bludgeons your body for the rest of your life. And, right. And maybe we didn't have it all figured out back then, but we had a kind of an inkling of it, you know, because our lives are very different, just as athletes, and everybody is in the athletic right. department, than the other people on campus. But I'd be like, so let me get this straight. You pay to be in this club.
Yeah, yeah.
And they basically molest you for months. And you pay for your friends and exclude others because they're not in the same group as you.
They're not as cool.
Like, well, that's not, I mean, isn't college a place, like, it was hard enough to play football, but right. I still tried to get that out of college. Like, it was a place for me to assert my individuality.
Sure.
And how do you do that with a bunch of guys with their thumb up each other's butts? I don't know, and peanut butter.
That's right. Are you watching the Petro's with us? Petro's Money Show over there, KLAC. Are you watching the Dodger game?
Well, I came downstairs to do the interview. You know what? I can throw it up on the computer. But last I saw, all they got was a sack fly out of the bases loaded.
Right.
And it's and then I think they gave up another jack in the bullpen. So it was 8-2.
That's exactly what it is now. 8-2. But you
yeah,
know, I think
it's
they
a
picked,
bad scene.
I think they picked the wrong field to do this in. This is not a hitter's park.
Well, you know, I mean, we talk about this a lot in the football world, Tim, and it is an interesting conversation because, like, you could say, for instance, Notre Dame. For many, this has changed now, but for many years, Notre Dame would grow the grass very long because they had big, angry white guys from Indiana. And they wanted to bludgeon you, and they didn't want fast teams to come and run by them. Right. So they grew the weeds thick, and people would complain about it.
Right.
But really, at the end of the day, it's just like if it's raining really hard. I mean, both teams have to play here. They both have to right. play on the same playing field. So if it's hard for the Dodgers to hit it out, it's hard for the Braves.
Right, but I think it's more interesting for the fans to get the more home runs there are.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of trouble being able to hit it out. I mean, the Dodgers broke a postseason record yesterday hitting the ball there. The reason, I mean, I know it's a really windy night, but that hasn't bothered the Braves. And the reason the roof is open with the wind going is because of COVID, Major League Baseball, pouring rain. Yeah, unless it's pouring rain, they want open air because they have 10,000 plus people in there. So,
that's wild.
I mean, there's fans, which makes it pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they're struggling, and it's going to be 3-1. Which is not insurmountable, but certainly not easy.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of the calm attitude. You know, I like an attitude of panic on the radio when it comes
right.
to this stuff. Because if you don't have any – look, I've just been watching – you ever see the movie
Dawson's Creek? Let me come back. I'm sorry. Let me take a quick break or else I get yelled at. KFI AM, the 640 Conway Show. A great fight song. USC fight song in honor of our guest, Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Show over there at KLAC. Hey, Petros, when you played Army or Navy, did you ever play either of those schools?
No, but I will be doing my very first Service Academy game a week from Saturday, Air Force at San Jose State on Fox Sports One.
From what I understand, for instance, Notre Dame played, Army and Pitt played Navy. They said those guys on Army and Navy, they could be down 44-0 with 3 minutes left, and they play as if the game is tied.
Yeah, they just do their thing, and I like the fact that they run triple option because that's really kind of lost art in the world of football. Not a lot of people do it, and it's not something that you just kind of install on a Monday and run on game day. It has to be like a tree that grows year-round, the timing of it. And the last big-time football team we ever saw that ran it was Nebraska.
Oh,
in
wow.
the Tom Osborne days, and they cut the head off of that tree and stunted one of the great programs in the history of football, really. They got away from it. So, yeah, I love watching the service academies do their thing.
But they're not as big
Dodgers
as
still down, by the way.
Yeah, Dodgers are down 8-2. But they're not as big as some of the other teams, but they play 110% on every down, even when they're down 50-0.
Yeah, and they have little stock. It's like a lacrosse team for Virginia. Most of them are little stocky white dudes.
Right.
Not all white dudes, but a lot of little stocky guys. And with the option, a lot of what they do, because they are perennially undersized and not as fast as most of the teams they're playing against, even in their conference. So what they do is they just fly around the edges and cut you down like a tree. Like if you don't protect your legs, you will have some little guy from Bethesda just chomping on your femur like a dog. You have to protect your legs and get low because they've cut you down like a timber.
Speaking of that, do you remember the guy's name that hit you the hardest, the one hit you still remember?
Oh, there's a few. I mean, it's sad to say because, I mean, I used to think it was funny, and I heard my son was on the swings today with his friends, and he was like, I might get a concussion. I was like, you shut up. You'll never get it, you know. But a guy.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Named Lester Towns. On Halloween night, 1998, I tried to jump over the pile, and I knew Lester's older brother, Trayvon Towns, very well. They were both from Pasadena High School and veterans of the turkey tussle between Muir and Pasadena, one of the great rivalries in our city.
Right.
And Lester just, he knew I was going to jump, and he hit me, and it was like shooting a bird, you know. Right at my apex, I just went down like I was shot. But luckily, the ball was like an inch over the goal line, and I scored. But, man, did he ring my bell.
Hey, look at this. If you're watching the Dodger game right now, look at this.
Oh, I'm watching it.
Look at this guy, this lack of concentration here on the first baseman. Watch this. He goes to catch it. Routine. Boom. Good night. I mean, that's a real lack of concentration in the eighth.
Well, it's a windy night out there.
Oh, okay. All right. I get that. But still, man, that's got to go in the heart of the glove, you know?
Yeah, times are hard right now if you're a Dodger fan. And, you know, like I was telling you before you had to go to break, you know, I like the panicky part because I don't really know much about baseball. I just love to panic like the rest of the people when they think the Dodgers are going to lose.
Right.
And I watched a movie this morning for like 3 hours, Das Boot. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, sure.
Never saw it. Yeah, that's a terrible play at first. I'm a little behind you here.
Okay.
That's Beatty. See, he's not a natural first baseman. This is this analytic stuff that we're stuck with. All right. I'm like that. I don't think I would have lasted in that sub, Tim. No, I think I would have freaked out.
Yeah,
you know.
And did you ever see
like
a movie?
The Dodgers, you know, every time they take a little bit of a hit in one of these games, I just start to freak out. You know, I'm just like a long tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
You know, my mom took me to see a double feature, which, you know, when you're nine, you don't want to see any double feature. But it was Rooster Cogburn and Lies My Father Told Me at the Town and Country Theater. And it was the longest 6 hours of my life. You know, I was only nine.
The Rooster Cogburn is True Grit?
No, it's not Clint Eastwood. It was the Duke.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He plays the it's the same character that Jeff Bridges played with Haley Steinfeld in the True Grit movie, the Coen Brothers movie.
That's right, man. Unbelievable. But that was a sensational movie. I remember that, sitting with my mom for a double feature, just me and my mom. It felt like weird. Buddy, I really
did you ever see that movie Great Balls of Fire with Dennis Quaid and Winona Ryder?
No.
Where he plays Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable sex scene. And I was sitting next to my father, you know. It was one of those old, it was like the old school PG-13, you know.
Right.
And I was still in like seventh or eighth grade.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, he married his cousin, for God's sake.
Right.
And my dad was like, oh, this is very uncomfortable for both of us. I did not know. I'll never forget it, obviously.
That's great. Well, you know, what was the movie? I think it was called The Lying Game.
Crying Game,
yeah.
Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah, that was a hell of a movie, too. I just saw that on TV the other day. All right, buddy, Petros, I really appreciate you coming on, man. You're a giant stud. I love, a part of my Sunday is with you and Fred Rogan after the final game, and I love that show. It's just such a great show.
We're flirting with disaster over there.
Why is that?
You know, I mean, it's always a wing and a prayer, the challenge with Fred Rogan.
Oh, no, it's going to be around forever. And I love your deep knowledge of the local high school football scene. That's pretty cool. And those kids must be thrilled.
I love the kids.
I mean, they must be thrilled that they're on TV every night, or every Sunday night, you know?
Well, they're not playing yet, Tim. Those kids aren't going to start playing until there's like 40 states that are playing high school football right now, and California's not one of them.
But when they come back, I mean, like last year, when you turn on NBC, which is a big station in LA, and you see your son playing high school football, running for a touchdown, you know, like 90 yards, that's a really cool deal.
That's why I like doing it.
Yeah. But I really appreciate coming on. Giant stud, and go Dodgers.
That and Fred's never-changing face.
That's right.
KFI. Live and local. NIR radio station.
KFI AM 640, Conway Show. Now the Dodgers decided best thing to do is give up another run. 9-2 Atlanta in the eighth, bottom of the eighth. So the Dodgers have three outs at the top of the ninth to score at least seven runs to send it into extra innings. Oh, boy. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen. Who knows? All right. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But if they don't win, they're down 3-1, and that is very, very tough to come back from. All right, let's get back to this brain fog. We learned some cool things about it, and then our good friend Petros came on. So like a good host, I paused it, and then we now pick it up. So we learned when you wake up in the morning, according to Dr. Sleep, or Dr. Brain Fog, whatever his name is. When you get up in the morning, take 5 or 6 good deep breaths. Drink at least, you know, a couple glasses of water, because you lose a lot of hydration when you sleep through your breath. About 1 liter of water. And then the third thing is to pop open some drapes and get some sunlight in there. So you need light, water, and a couple of deep breaths. Remember that. Try it tomorrow. Maybe you'll feel better. Who knows? Maybe you feel worse. I don't know. But all right, here's some more brain fog. Let's find out what's going on, why we're all suffering from brain fog.
There are, as a matter of fact, one of the...
Oh, here was the question. It was a good question.
Are there other reasons that we could be suffering from brain fog?
Great question.
There are, as a matter of fact, one of them are hormones. So for people who are going through menopause and things like that, that can be a very brain foggy type of situation. Also something called chronic fatigue syndrome.
That's me. I think I got it, right?
Also something called chronic fatigue syndrome. This is something where people are constantly feeling like they're in a state of brain fog all day long.
Yep.
The way to tell the difference if it's melatonin and sleep versus something like chronic fatigue is if it's melatonin and sleep, it kind of stops by about 11 o'clock and you have that ability to focus again, maybe even as early as 10. Whereas with chronic fatigue, you may feel fatigued all day long. Chronic fatigue is something that you would probably want to talk with your doctor about, maybe a rheumatologist to learn more about some of those treatments. As far as hormones replacement therapy, that's a discussion you can have with your doctor. But hormones, especially during menopause, can have a big effect. And then finally, medications. Many people who take medications in the evening don't realize that it can have a hangover effect the next day. A perfect example of that is Benadryl. So many people who use Benadryl to help them sleep at night, which I do not recommend, it lasts so long that it makes them feel foggy the next day.
All right. As always, great information. For more information on the Sleep Doctor, Dr. Michael Bruce, you can go to thesleepdoctor.com.
Thesleepdoctor.com. I like this dude.
You can go to thesleepdoctor.com or follow him on social media or check out his new podcast, Sleep Success. Thanks for joining us.
There you go. All right, the Dodgers decided that they didn't want to be down anymore by 7 runs, so now they're down by 8. And it's Atlanta 10 and the Dodgers 2. This sucks as a Dodger fan. Man, this was the year we're going to the World Series. It's still available, right? It's still possible. But it just doesn't look good. I mean, Atlanta has so much confidence now that they beat the Dodgers 3 out of 4 games, if indeed the Dodgers lose this game. And if they do, they're down 3-1. That's a really tough hole to climb out of, because that means you have to beat Atlanta 3 straight games. And that's tough to do. You can do it, right? It's doable, especially if you win the first and the second, then the pressure's back on Atlanta. But it's really difficult to do, you know? And if the Dodgers do not win the World Series or do not even go to the World Series this year, I don't know. I think they, I don't know what they do. You know, how do you shake up a team that constantly wins their division? Like 15 years in a row or 10 years in a row, whatever it is. I don't know how you shake a team up like that. I don't know, you know, what's missing on this team? You know, for the Dodgers, nothing, right? There's nothing missing on this team. They got Mookie Betts. Maybe the best player in baseball. You got the best pitchers in baseball. You got the best fielders, and you did. And it's tough not to put all this together. It's crazy, crazy out there, I tell you. All right, so it's now the eighth, the end of the eighth. So now it's going to go to the top of the ninth. The Dodgers have one more shot, 3 more outs, and then that's it. And we got to play the next game. But it's to be a Dodger fan right now, it sucks. It's so difficult, you know, to get there every single year. You know, it's not like the Dodgers, you know, snuck into the playoffs for the last 15 years. They dominated. They had the most wins last year of any Dodger team. They had the most wins this year of any team in baseball in this pandemic year. And if they don't make it to the World Series, man, there's going to be a lot of people on the team and off the team that are going to be pissed. KFI AM 640 Conway Show. 2 outs in the ninth. Dodgers down 10-2. No good. No good. I'll tell you when that's over. Very close to being over. 2 strikes. 10-2. Dodgers will be down 3-1 after this next out. No good. No good. Not good at all. And I don't know what you do. You throw your hands up. The Dodger team has everything. They got great players on offense. They got great pitching. They got everything. And if they don't go to the World Series and win the World Series, people are going to be pissed. All right, a bacon mask for Halloween. Hormel is giving away a bacon face mask.
Do you love bacon? Well, now there's a...
You know you love it.
Do you love bacon? Well, now there's a new face mask for you. Hormel Foods has now created what it calls black label breathable bacon. And no, Sam, if the mask gets wet, it doesn't make a difference. According to the company, the limited edition mask uses the latest in pork-scented technology. Bet you didn't know it existed. Mm. Now through October 28th, you can try scoring a free mask by registering online. I already did.
All right. I already did.
I already did.
I already did. Now, I already did should have been met with oh, that's cool, right? But how about the reaction to I already did.
I already did.
Listen to the setup here and then the reaction.
Now through October 28th, you could try scoring a free mask by registering online. I already did. No word on whether the mask will be sold.
Wow. That is some reaction, man. I ordered one. Why can't I get that out of Gina? Hey, Gina, you know this mask made out of bacon?
Yeah.
I already ordered one.
It's gluten-free, baby.
That's right.
I already did. No word on whether the mask will be sold after the giveaway.
I'm down with Sam. I can't rock with soggy bacon. Oh.
Give all bacon is good bacon. It. Just saying.
Well, Sam has a great idea of what you can do. What can get your mask to smell like bacon?
What? Which one?
The one where you...
Hey, Mondo, can you have bacon now with that new ticker of yours?
Yeah. Actually, the doctor said that I need to boost up my sodium intake.
What?
Yeah, they told me that I should eat some French fries and have more salt in my diet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
It's amazing.
And, like, pickle juice shots.
Yes, right. Definitely.
Gina, do you cook bacon at home, like, on
weekends?
Yes,
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. My wife has the most willpower in the world. My daughter and I will cook, like, a pound of bacon. And if it's thick cut, it's only like, 10 slices or so. And my wife will, smell it, we'll eat it, and she won't have a piece.
What? Why?
Not a slice. Doesn't really care for it.
What?
Doesn't care for bacon.
I
don't know anybody in the world like that.
I'm at a loss. I don't know what to say.
Mark Thompson eats bacon.
Right.
That's how great it is. Right?
If you just eat the pizza or you eat the food, you're breathing it into the mask anyway. The mask smells like it. That's what Heather and I were talking about.
We're just mixing this.
It's just I don't know that that's a good idea, and I love bacon. I'm just not.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Wait, another big reaction. What was the big reaction over here?
I don't know that that's a good idea, and I love bacon. I'm just not.
Yeah, you don't need it. That often.
No.
I don't know.
You're all
but I do. But I do appreciate pork-scented technology. Yes. That phrase.
Okay. There you go.
Yucking it up.
I can use that all day long.
There you go.
It does.
I think they might be high. That's possible, right? All right. EDD, the Employment Department fraud. How's that done? Well, let's tell you how.
Our source, who asked to remain anonymous, says it was a get-rich-quick scheme filled with glitz and glamour. We're told some of the culprits allegedly spent their newfound fortune in Las Vegas, where those with large amounts of money blend in with everyone else. Some of the truly unemployed say they've waited months without receiving their benefits. The normal waiting period is 3 weeks.
Right.
According to a second source, people who she says fraudulently applied received their benefits in one.
Wow.
Person A, who hasn't been employed since having a baby 2 years ago.
Wow.
So she applied, and our sources tell us she almost instantly received back benefits from EDD totaling $10,000.
Woo! Good for her.
Person A then offered to help person B apply for his benefits. The EDD promptly sent him benefits totaling
$12,000. Wow. I need to get in on this racket.
Person B then promptly turned over $2,500 of that money to person A as payment. Person A did the same for person C and D. EDD paid person D's claim at least $10,000. But EDD put person C claim on hold until it could ask additional questions about C's job history. Person A made one phone call to EDD. Someone actually answered, and the problem was fixed. Soon after, our source says, the agency sent person C nearly $16,000.
Oh, my God. What are these guys doing, just handing out these?
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Big checks.
Yet, person after person has told Seven on Your Side they can't get anyone to answer the phone at EDD or to even help them. Assemblyperson Jim Patterson of Fresno fears someone working at EDD could be part of this scam.
Yeah, there is definitely an insider scam going on at EDD. It sounds like it.
I'm not going to make the claim that the EDD is an inside job, but I'm getting close.
As I previously reported, some of those suspected of taking part in this scheme are incarcerated.
Oh,
eight
God.
Suspects are accused of taking part in this scam while serving time at San Mateo County's McGuire Correctional Facility. Another is serving a 50-year to life sentence for murder at Corcoran State Prison.
Oh, my God. They make it so easy to get money out of EDD.
One is in San Francisco County Jail and another in California State Prison, Sacramento. The San Mateo County District Attorney's Office in August charged those 11 inmates and 10 others with 17 counts of conspiracy to commit fraud. We've since learned.
How screwed up is the state of California where prisoners find it easy to get checks for $18,000 while they're incarcerated? Man, oh, man. That's why people in the state of California say F you to paying taxes. Because the government in the state of California, there are no watchdogs at all. All the money comes in, all the money goes out. Most of it's probably ripped off. And then they ask us for more money with this Proposition 15. F them. Say no on 15. No more money with these a-holes. KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. Yeah. Ding dong. I asked Mondo last night, I said, hey, do we get paid on the 14th or the 15th? And he's like, are you cutting it that close? You living paycheck to paycheck, bub? I'm like, no, I just like to know when I get paid, you know? I like to know. Gina, when do you get paid? You get paid on the 15th?
On
the 1st? Did you get paid today or yesterday? Today.
I don't know. I could look it up. I mean, it's auto pay. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? You don't check?
Well,
you got to be up at night when that comes in at midnight.
I do okay.
Check it out.
Okay.
But Amanda's like, you live paycheck to paycheck, man? Why do you really care? I'm like, I like to know. I like to see when it comes in. You know?
Are you busted out?
I'm not busted out. But it's always a different amount. And I always like to see whether, you know, it's a good month or a bad month, you know? All right, so EDD fraud is off the charts, and nobody has any control over it. The people who really need the money are not getting it, and the people who are in prison are getting checks for like 18 grand. All right, women are cutting back, working all due to COVID. Yeah, one in four women are scaling back their professional life.
For many working women, the coronavirus has led to hard choices and new realities.
I had a lot of anxiety.
I was not sleeping at night. I never thought I would have to leave my job.
When the pandemic hit, Kenesha Mayweather left a job as a warehouse associate because of safety concerns.
I have a one-year-old. She has breathing issues. And I also have a 13-year-old. She has a rare type of cancer. And so I really had to leave my job because of them.
Oh, it's so horrible to have, you know, two kids that aren't well like that. Oh, man, that's horrible.
A new joint study from McKinsey & Company and LeanIn.org finds one in four women are considering leaving the workforce or down.
Is that right? 25% of women are thinking about leaving?
Or downshifting career goals because of the virus. Far more than men.
Women cannot be expected to live up to business as usual expectations right now. Nobody can.
Only one in three women of color say they heard from a manager about how they might be doing following following racial incidents of violence.
We know that black women who had an ally over the course of the pandemic are 2.5 times more likely to see a fair workplace and to want to stay.
The study finds women also face a caregiving crisis during COVID-19, with mothers 3 times as likely as fathers to be responsible for childcare.
I was a third grade teacher.
Kate Orr quit her job at an elementary school to care for her 4-month-old.
It's just human nature as a mother to want to do what's best for your family.
Researchers suggest employees take bold steps during the pandemic to create a more flexible and fair workplace for women and men, and set clear goals to ensure all employees feel supported.
Oh, that's wild. All right, Dodgers' Dave Roberts has a press conference going right now. Maybe we'll record that and play that and find out where he thinks the problem is. Because the Dodgers are down 3-1 in the National League Championship Series. They lost to Atlanta tonight, 42-2, or 10-2, something like that. And so Dave Roberts has to be pissed, but just scratching his head. He's got the best team in baseball, and they're down 3-1 in the National League Championship Series. How does that happen? All right? Crazy. Crazy, I tell you. All right, trick-or-treating in Santa Clarita, is it going to go on? I know we have a big, huge audience up there in Valencia, Santa Clarita area.
Hey, for Halloween.
Dean's grandma, Christina, says her family will participate in trick-or-treating this year, primarily to give her grandson a sense of normalcy.
Everyone's wearing masks, for the most part. If you're careful, like we all, our parents are, with meticulously looking through candy, you can spray it when you get it home. I think that we're going to be fine.
This comes as the city of Santa Clarita announced people can trick-or-treat despite
Congratulations to Santa Clarita, right? They're like, you know what? Kids enjoy it. It's a Saturday. They want to get out there. Let's go.
This comes as the city of Santa Clarita announced people can trick-or-treat despite state and county officials recommending against the festivities due to the pandemic.
Yes, Santa Clarita.
That would make me nervous. I mean, just, you know, taking candy from people who could possibly be positive for COVID.
This week, the state announced it strongly discourages door-to-door activities like trick-or-treating. L.A. County is taking a similar stance, but public health officials say since these practices are only recommendations, the city is not in violation.
I just wanted to make sure that our residents knew there wasn't any ambiguity about it, that if you wanted to trick-or-treat, you could. The sheriffs are not going to be citing anybody for it, but just be respectful that not everybody may be comfortable yet.
The mayor's announcement all comes right, after Beverly Hills City Council approved an ordinance earlier this week restricting Halloween activities. Mayor Smythe urges Santa Clarita families to participate safely, like wearing a mask and practice social distancing.
Well, having something like trick-or-treating is an event that people have been looking forward to, and they're excited to participate. And Santa Clarita has always been very safe and respectful
of
the protocols, and that's going to continue.
Well, trick-or-treating is allowed here.
So if you live in a city that's not allowing trick-or-treating, maybe at 3, 4 o'clock, you get in the car and you go to Santa Clarita. Walk around Santa Clarita, right?
While trick-or-treating is allowed here in the city of Santa Clarita, other activities are prohibited, like carnivals, haunted houses, and large gatherings.
There you go. All right. I don't know if you can do that. I don't know how they're going to throw you out, though. You know, just say you're trick-or-treating with the kids. When they say, where do you live? You're like, then run from the cops, right? All right, the drive-through Halloween, this is an option if you can't trick-or-treat and they say no to the haunted house, which is always a cool thing around the holidays. If they're saying no to everything, maybe you can drive through. Let's find out what's going on here.
Due to the pandemic, it's not safe to celebrate Halloween like we normally do. So a local company has come up with a one-of-a-kind event that's still keeping the traditions and excitement of Halloween alive in a safe way.
So joining us live this morning with a preview of the first annual Hauntoween is Jason Smith. He's founder of...
I don't know if I like the name for kids. The Hauntoween.
Preview of the first annual Hauntoween.
Hauntoween. I think they need another rewrite. What names did they leave on the table if they settled with Hauntoween for kids?
Hauntoween is Jason Smith. He's founder of Experiential Supply. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
It looks very Halloween behind you, which nice because I think while we can't celebrate Halloween, you want to see hay, you want to see pumpkins.
I do.
So it's nice decor. We like that. So tell us about your company.
We have a lot of it here. We have about 25,000 pumpkins.
Wow. Okay, so tell us about your company, what it is that you guys do, and can we go and see that stuff?
Of course you can. So we're a full-service experiential production house, mainly known for our work in the entertainment industry, promoting films like Smallfoot, The Lego Movie 2, It's Chapter 2, and a lot of other stuff. And, you know, the pandemic had hit us hard, just like everyone else, and we decided to...
Where is this place? Just let us know where and when and online.
Kind of put on our own show.
Right.
Historically, a lot of our stuff has been work for hire.
Where is
with the studios and free to it. Decided it was time for a little change. And that's where
Hauntaween
was born. And here we are today.
So explain what it is. Hauntaween, it's a great name. But tell us, we just heard how you came up with a concept. Explain what we will see if we come take part.
And where is it?
Yeah, so, you know, drive-thrus are the big hot thing right now. And we really wanted to focus on how can this be different and stand out.
Where is
it? And most importantly, focus on the traditions of Halloween.
In L.A.?
That were really going to be difficult this year. And that's, of course, picking pumpkins.
Ventura?
Trick-or-treating.
I need a location, kids.
And just enjoying that spooky, fun vibe
location,
that you get
boys.
With the holidays.
Right.
And
now we know what it is. We're minute 30 into the story. Where the hell is it?
So what we've created is sort of a really immersive route.
Where? Burbank?
That takes about 25 minutes. It kicks off with two immersive tunnels.
Van Nuys? Sherman Oaks?
One being a 90-foot jack-o'-lantern tunnel with animated lights.
Great. We understand. There's decorations. Where the F is it? Simi Valley? Ventura?
And then a black UV tunnel.
Is it in Palmdale?
Sponsored by FX on Hulu's What We Do in the Shadows show.
Is it near the La Brea Tar Pits? Where... the F is it?
And then you hit the pumpkin patch where I'm here today.
Great. Where is the pumpkin patch?
Each vehicle does leave with a pumpkin that's included in their ticket.
All right. What state or country is it in? Can you give us a country?
They'll stop at one of the four towers on the other side of this
wall. We get
it.
There's drive-thru, there's decorations, there's pumpkins. Where is it?
We sanitize that pumpkin.
I don't care. I want to know the location. I'm too deep into this. We're 2 minutes into it, and we don't have an address yet.
Put in their trunk. It's a no-touch experience for them.
Right. We get it. It's safe, and there's decorations. Where am I driving my car to?
And then they'll hit Party City Lane, who's one of our sponsors.
Okay, we're getting close. Party City Lane. What city?
Into the Skeleton Loop, and then the big main show.
Great. So you ruined it for everybody by telling them everything about it.
Is trick-or-treating, where we've created a two-street neighborhood.
Okay. What city?
With 10 houses, you stop door-to-door for socially
distancing.
Give me
the effing city, or I'm going to I'm gonna come to KTLA.
With 10 actors, all costumed, masked, having fun.
Got it. Boom. Totally get it. Need a loc.
And they're extending pole and baskets into the vehicles and dumping the candy.
Location!
All right, so is this for all ages, and what are your days and hours of operation? When can we show up to try this?
Oh, my God. Are they doing this on purpose?
All right, so is this for all ages, and what are your days and hours of operation? When can we show up to try this?
And nobody knows where the hell it is.
Yes, all ages. So selfishly, my oldest daughter is born on Halloween, so I had to make sure that this was done tastefully.
All right, if she was born on Halloween, where was she born? St. Joe's, St. John's, Cedars? Tarzana Hospital?
Make sure that this was done tastefully, that she could enjoy it as well as my other two girls.
Okay. Give me a location.
I think it's a great idea. It's kind of like a...
Ask him where it is.
We all drive through Christmas displays, you know, Christmas
displays. Where is it?
Why not? Kids still can get dressed up in their costumes.
Where?
What's your daughter's name if she was...
No! Born? Stop with the daughter's name. Who cares? Where is the location?
What's your daughter's name if she was born on Halloween and this is what you do for a living?
Oh, my God.
Emerson.
Did it have anything to do with Halloween, or is this randomly Emerson?
Right. Does it have anything to do with Emerson Drive in North Hollywood? Is that close?
No.
It's a pretty name. My niece is also named Emerson.
Okay. Nobody cares. All right? People want to know where the location of this thing is. We're 3 minutes into it, and we don't know.
All right.
It's fun. Emerson, Sawyer, and London.
Great. Okay. Three kids. My three sons. Now, where is it?
Emerson, Sawyer, in London.
And I expect them to come here every day. And
so far, we know the kids' names, and we've known the kids' names because they've been said three times. Emerson, and Soy.
Emerson, Sawyer, in London.
And Sawyer, in London. Where is the event?
Expect them to come here every day and have a sugar rush until Halloween.
Well, hopefully a lot of folks go out there and enjoy the...
Out where?
Well, hopefully a lot of folks go out there and join them in that as well.
Where?
Hey, thanks so much for your time this morning.
What?
Looks like a lot of fun. Halloween LA, it opens today. It runs every day from 3 in the afternoon to 9 at night. That's through October 31st.
You got to give me a GD City, man. I'm going to come right through this, the effing radio.
If you'd like more information, we've put the details up on the lower left side on your screen. You go to the website. You can follow them on Instagram and also on Twitter. Honto.
They never said where it was. They never effing said where it effing was. I give up. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. We got a high-speed chase on Channel 9. Channel 9, Valley. It's on Mason Line, right near the Orange Line right there in San Fernando Valley. DeSoto and Mason. It looks like Satakoi.
Do you have juice in your cans?
Overhead watching this vehicle like a hawk.
Sorry about that.
I did see some LAPD units
chase
perhaps a mile or so. They're kind of keeping their distance, I believe, because of
the reckless
driving.
Looks like they're on Victory and DeSoto.
There was some talk of spike strips, but it's all going to kind of depend on what this person does.
Victory and DeSoto.
If he's going to be hanging around the same neighborhood, or if he's going to be going to other locations. If he doesn't start, you know, circling neighborhoods, it's going to be difficult for CHP, or rather for LAPD, to do any kind of spike strips. I'd say maybe half the time we see patterns where...
Breaking news, high-speed chase in the San Fernando Valley.
And LAPD can kind of predict their next move.
DeSoto and Kittredge.
But if they just kind of drive erratically and not in any sort of a pattern, it definitely makes things more difficult for LAPD. But they are the agency primarily in pursuit as we head through Canoga Park, northbound on DeSoto, out of Woodland Hills.
Northbound on DeSoto.
Park,
all right.
Soon we'll be in the Winnetka and Chatsworth area, Wanapat.
Desmond, was this pursuit ever on freeways?
You know what? We had just heard about it on some really crazy speeds on surface streets earlier. I don't recall hearing about any freeways, but we had heard at times up to 100 miles an
northbound
hour
on DeSoto.
On surface streets from what I was seeing. Now, I can display
this. You'll probably be coming up on Nordoff here soon.
Sky Tracker, you'll see about 60, 65 miles an hour, so close to freeway speeds here on DeSoto. DeSoto, a pretty wide major thoroughfare, though. I'll just widen out just to show you that
he's headed towards
units behind
the
him.
118
he's
freeway.
Watch out, though, because a lot of people park in that far right lane on the off hour. So even though this is a three-lane street, you see him encountering a little bit of traffic.
Oh, he's going to go up.
We'll see here as he goes to
the middle
lane.
Ooh.
What his the next move is going to be, just kind of cutting around.
Wendy's out there.
Oh,
very good.
Zagging. He blew through a red light earlier. But again, it was because
still
of
still north.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Found DeSoto in the San Fernando Valley.
He backed off the pursuit, and they're technically in tracking mode right now. I think they kind of want to see what he does, and they may have some plans for spike strips eventually up ahead, Pat Juan.
Yeah, because right now it seems as though he has stayed on that thoroughfare of DeSoto for quite some time now, and he's still in Canoga Park, but as you say, he's going to be approaching Winnetka and Chatsworth pretty soon. Do we know where this started, Desmond, where they picked this vehicle up?
High-speed chase.
Well, we've been
DeSoto and Parthenia
division, so I believe somewhere in the West San Fernando.
He's moving
Valley,
pretty good.
Where this started, and, you
and
know,
eventually he'll come up
on
to the 118 freeway.
Earlier,
if he stays on this on DeSoto, he'll run into the 118 freeway, and I believe there's an on ramp there. Either way, you want to go east or westbound.
Decides to do, like I said, primarily they're following this from the air. DeSoto coming up on Nordoff. So
right, Nordoff, okay.
Some, pretty high.
He's getting up there
and making a right turn to head eastbound.
Oh,
on
Nordoff.
So
okay. eastbound on Nordahl.
Headed towards the Northridge area out of Canoga Park.
Yeah, and it seems like, Desmond, traffic's very light right now in this part of the San Fernando Valley. Now heading into Northridge, a car.
He's going to be going by the Northridge Mall now.
Driving.
This is all surface streets. We don't see that very often. He's going almost 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, this does an S turn here near the mall. That's the mall right there.
The car going well. It's dropped.
And then it comes off, and it'll finish that S turn at Mason.
But definitely going.
And then Winnetka. Then you go back the other way. Then that's Mason coming up, and then Winnetka.
Oh, go ahead, Desmond.
No, I was gonna concur.
That's
with
Mason Walter. Right there.
About 55 miles an hour now. I did see him run through one red light. Yeah.
Mason and Nordoff going eastbound on Nordoff. Eastbound on Nordoff. Coming up on Winnetka.
Area. Lightly traveled, but you know most of the San Fernando Valley
eastbound
is
Nordoff
of the evening
crossing
on
Winnetka.
Thursday,
that may not be Winnetka.
The pandemic we're seeing.
The next, next major street is Winnetka. So, that might be. I think that's Oso. He passed. Born and raised in the valley. I know the valley.
Also creates more. Typically wide open conditions.
That's Winnetka right there. And there's spike strips laying down there, and he got him.
And, you know, it looked like actually they were going to try to spike him right there. So
looks like he may have got him.
Amazing by LAPD to get in position that quickly. That just shows you how
that was Winnetka and Nordoff
standing by in various locations, and they have the
next is coming up on Corbin.
The locations to the officers
Winnetka and Corbin coming up.
So if they're quick enough, you know, they may only
he got him.
Notice to post up.
There's sparks coming off on the right side.
Technique again, and it sounds like that's going to be their technique of choice right now. Haven't heard about thoughts of a pit maneuver or anything.
I think
like
he's
that
turned right on Corbin.
Yeah, he's going pretty fast
or
for
Winnetka.
A pit maneuver right now, isn't he?
I think it's Corbin.
Desmond, and we just want to make sure we get another location from
southbound
him.
On Corbin.
Turn is this Corbin Avenue right
yeah
now?
Southbound
seems to be
Corbin
picking up some speed mm-hmm too.
The target right there.
Yeah, Corbin Avenue getting above 60 miles an hour now. So we just
southbound
turned
Corbin.
Southbound and
all right, we got to take a break. We'll follow it. We're going to track it though. Southbound on Corbin. He's going to be coming up on Roscoe.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Away this person goes. We'll see. Going to go.
KFI AM 640 is Conway Show.
Waiting unit. So
this guy ended up on Vassar Avenue in Winnetka in an apartment building. High speed chase on Channel 9.
Vassar Avenue in Woodland Hills. So
he's in the apartment building. In the apartment.
They know the unit that this guy went into. And now LAPD is going to go in, and they're going to
surround
the building here, make sure that there's only one way in and out so that they have
there's
the
probably a bunch of people in there sleeping, right?
Have to see what happens.
Almost 10 o'clock at night. And now
yeah, great job, Desmond, keeping that suspect right there in the center of your shot. We were able to see it,
that's
so
the,
did our
the
viewers.
He went into, yeah,
the guy run right
now
into that apartment, and as
the
you
other
said,
people
this
out
looks
bad
to me like a gated community,
mess.
Especially since that gate
mess
opened up when the car got closer. So really nowhere else for him to go. Maybe he's trying to settle some things before he is eventually taken away, but police know where he's at. And now
they're on the second
right
floor
the
or third floor of this building.
Is that an officer,
I
Desmond?
Think so. At the, yeah.
Right at
yeah,
the...
Yeah,
okay.
And pad one, I wanted to mention, too, it looked like... I didn't see the guy sitting there fiddling with his keys or anything like that. He just went right in. Makes me think that there
like
might have been somebody inside waiting, you know, for him with the door unlocked to welcome him home. So unless, you know, he left his door unlocked, highly unlikely. So here we are off of Vassar Avenue, south of Sattaquoy Street. All the units in response. The airship overhead. They have this person pinned down.
They're
going to
get this guy.
Units out on Vassar Street as
how
well.
How long is it going to take?
Just make sure this guy doesn't try to jump
hours
out the window or do something crazy like that.
And look at the neighbors.
So,
and the neighbors are all coming out of their
out
place.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got a low-flying helicopter overhead and a spotlight on your apartment complex. You know, neighbors are definitely going to start
and the neighbors
to,
are probably watching it on TV. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's in their living room.
So maybe you should tell them to flick the lights on and off.
Yeah, that's right.
Alarm people and obviously say things that we don't quite
right
know. But this still could be, it's a serious situation now, and it could be
yeah, with my luck,
dangerous
like, oh,
situation.
Flickering my lights, the guy shot me.
Because of just how much he wanted to get away from officers and
he
all the
went into this apartment building,
illegal
and then he went
moves
into a,
he was making,
a screen
and then the
door,
fact that,
like one of those
he
heavy
would
metal
bail
screen
out of the
doors
vehicle and run
and
from
now
officers
he's behind a screen door. The door's
and,
open, but the screen's
you know,
closed. You can see through the screen.
Present a very tenuous situation in terms of officers
so he can see
even
the
trying to approach.
And no, there's somebody
right
coming to
you
that
know
screen
for,
door
for
right now.
Is in that apartment, too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now the cops are coming down.
Here they come.
Here they go.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
You see four officers.
Here we go.
Coming up. So we'll just have to see how they're going to approach this.
It's not that. It's the next door. It's not that door. It's not that door. It's the next door.
Who else is inside?
It's not that door.
They're
knocking on the
door
here. Knocking on the wrong door.
Some Bruce Lee kicks there.
Oh wow.
That's the wrong door.
So here they go. Here they go in with
the door next to them.
And guns drawn. And,
let's just
hope that nobody innocent in there makes any sudden moves and that we see the suspect come out in handcuffs here momentarily.
Did they make an entry? It's really dark. So I can't really tell from here. I could still see a lot of officers outside.
The next door.
Maybe they can't without a search warrant.
Well, they kicked in the door.
That's not him.
There's somebody.
Yeah,
it's the guy sleeping.
Yeah, that's somebody. That was
that's a woman.
Not the suspect,
oh, boy.
That's not her. It's the next door next door.
Yeah.
It's the screen door.
This is a big
whoopsie
daisy.
They're going to arrest her?
Detain her right now. She
what's
was
she doing?
Acting like she doesn't know what's going on. And here you see some other officers, looks like, coming up the other side of the stairwell.
Right. Bunch of cops. That was like 10 cops up there.
Overwhelming force right now.
To the right of your screen.
They're going to have to go through. Yeah, they're going to have to go through and clear the apartment.
Wow.
And,
you got to turn on Channel 9. This is wild.
Is armed or not. This was a reckless driving
suspect.
Cops this was
balls
not
to
a,
go in there
this,
like
this
that.
This wasn't one of the more serious, felony charges that we often see. So that may be
there's
of
about 20
some
cops on this
officers, but
third floor of this
no
apartment building.
This person,
and I still think that's the wrong door.
The home or anything like that. So now
they're making
several
entry.
Officers going in, and there's the suspect.
They've got him.
It looks like they're getting him up against the wall right now. And,
man, I thought it was the wrong door.
Wouldn't you just love to give? I'd love to give the LAPD more credit than 20 cops going to the wrong door.
I swear he went through that screen door, though. I still think that they may talk him into going through that screen door.
I don't want to speculate again, but it almost seems
that him?
Desmond Hamon asked this question in terms of...
They arrested him. It looks like the guy, right? He's got the same clothes on.
They certainly went through a lot.
Maybe that screen door and that other door attached to the same apartment. That's possible.
A guy for reckless driving.
Right.
What I'm thinking about was there any danger to other drivers?
Man,
to pedestrians? Not necessarily as much, but maybe they know something
else. Right
in
that apartment, got that.
Maybe the license to that car came back to a case that they were working on. Who knows? But it looks like the driver that we saw running into that apartment dressed pretty much the same as he is right there, now in handcuffs, being searched by police. Somebody else was also in that apartment as well. Apparently, they're going to be let go at one point or another.
And they're going to arrest the woman if the woman opened the door and let him in.
And some, they're still
she's going to be an accomplice. She'll be hauled out.
Lisa to put some pants on.
Yeah.
A code 4. Desmond, you still up with us? Of course you are, because we still have your picture.
Yeah, I'm still with you. And, just kind of to go on what Juan was saying, there are a lot of times where, the license plate returns a known
wild,
suspect
wild
or
pursuit,
someone with
man.
A rap sheet.
That was crazy.
I've heard them call that before where they may even disengage
you're
with the
suspect. You're watching Channel 9, an apartment in Winnetka. There's about 10 cops on the third floor of this apartment building. It looks like they got the right guy.
And detain someone. So, every situation is different, but
and then they detain this woman.
Like you said, Pat, I can't remember. I've ever seen officers just go rush up to a unit and
right.
kick the door in. So it's quite possible that this person
they
was
could probably take the speedometer down, right?
Yeah.
What exactly is going 1 mile an hour?
He's not moving even that fast.
Right now.
All right. That was quite a chase, man. That was wild. That was crazy at the end. Kick that door down like that. Woo. Boy, oh, boy. All right. We're going to check in with George Norrie next. Find out what's going on with that dude. 640, it's Conway Show. George Norrie's coming up next. George, it's on the big show tonight, bub.
And we've got it all tonight. UFOs and vampires. Can't ask for anything else on Coast to Coast.
I'll be there, man.
All right, my friend.
All right.
See you soon.
There he goes. George Norrie and Coast to Coast. By the way, Ghost to Ghost this year is coming up, but it's not going to be on Halloween. It's going to be on the 30th. Because that's a Friday. So if you're looking forward to that, it's October 30th. All right, let's get the post-game interview with manager Roberts, right? And he is trying to explain away how the Dodgers are down 3-1 against Atlanta in a best of 7-game series. They can't afford another loss. They have to beat Atlanta 3 games in a row. That's tough to do considering Atlanta's hot right now. All right, here we go. Dave Roberts.
You know, the inning prior, the fourth inning, was a clean inning. He punched the last guy, and, you know, you induce weak contact, that tough play, and it gets away from the first baseman, and he gets second base. And there's another ground ball by the first baseman. We had Freeman way over in the gap, but turned a single into a double. And so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought Clayton was throwing the baseball really well, and there was no reason. So I just felt really good about it, yeah.
Where do you go from here in terms of Kirsch? I mean, the narrative continues that he's not a postseason pitcher, but I'm not certain that the line reflects actually how he was throwing the ball tonight.
No, absolutely not. I think that he came out and, you know, five innings, one run, and then, you know, again, we just, you know, what happened right there in that sixth inning, but he gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead and or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I'm not going to take Clayton out after a weak ground ball and another ground ball off the bat of Freeman. And, you know, right there, he had 3-2 breaking ball that Ozuna, you know, it wasn't hit very hard, just found the right spot in the outfield and turned into a double. So it was a good piece of hitting. And, you know, so at that point in time, you know, I wanted to go to Gratterall and have him ready at that point, but I felt really good with Clayton at that point in time.
Dave, were you surprised that the roof was open?
You know what I need to see? I need to see more like Tommy Lasorda. After a loss, Tommy Lasorda was so effing angry. He was swearing. He was yelling at people, yelling at reporters. Like, somebody asked him what he thought of Dave Roberts. I mean, not Dave Roberts, Kingman. Dave Kingman. What he thought of Dave Kingman's performance. And Dave Kingman, in the game against the Dodgers, just hit three home runs. And he goes, what do you think about Dave Kingman's performance? And Tommy sort of looks at me and goes, what the F do you think I think about him? He hit three effing home runs off me. Three effing home runs. What the F do you piece of blank, what do you think I think of effing Dave Kingman? And he went nuts. That's what I need to see out of the manager. Craziness, right? Crazy!
Dave, were you surprised that the roof was opened and what kind of impact did it
Yeah, make? I mean, I don't.
Oh, my God. What kind of questions are these? Were you surprised the roof is open? Right? The roof is open for both teams.
Dave, were you surprised that the roof was opened and what
were you surprised? Like, you came out and you're like, whoa, I couldn't believe it. They said it was going to be maybe closed and it's open. We're shocked.
Dave, were you surprised that the roof was opened and what kind of impact did it
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a whole lot of the county regulations and what's, you know, required or allowed or not, but it was just really windy, and
yeah, for both teams.
Umpire Corey Blazer had a hard time seeing with his contacts. Our guys, I'm sure their guys. So, you know, it's just, I was just asking about the roof, but there's certainly no excuses there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. It was, if you have a roof, I don't know why you close it. I mean, I understand the COVID pandemic and things like that, but I don't know if wind's any worse for it, but it just seems like it was a little crazy enough to where they might want to close the roof, but I mean, it didn't affect me much, no.
There you go. All right. Dodgers have got to win three straight now against Atlanta. Oh, boy. I think the next game is tomorrow. I think they're going to play like seven straight games. And the other series, the Tampa Bay Houston series, is 3-2. Tampa 3 and Houston 2. And the next Dodger game is tomorrow at 6:08 p.m. Great. So every single day of this week, we have to compete with the Dodgers radio station. Every single night. So I don't know how we're going to do it. But hopefully they win Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they move on. But they need three straight wins against Atlanta. It's very difficult to do. The game tomorrow is going to be 6:08 p.m. You can listen to it on Saturday. You can listen to Saturday's game at 1:38 p.m. on 570 a.m. KLAC, 570 a.m. if they make it, right? They got to win Friday to get into the weekend. Then they have a Saturday game. If they win Saturday, they play Sunday at 5:15 p.m. So again, tomorrow at 6:08, Saturday at 1:30, and Sunday at 5:15. Let's hope that they're playing on Sunday. All right? Let's get this game. Let's get this series. Take it home and move on to either Houston or Tampa Bay. Very good. All right, great chase tonight. cops kind of got real crazy there at the end. I haven't seen that in a long time, where the cops come up to an apartment and give it a couple kicks, and they are inside, man. Woof. I think some frustration's built up. You're like, you know what? We're not going to sit around and do the SWAT team with the gas and the dogs in 15 hours. Just, you know, kick that door open. We're in. Got him. Go. Move on. And that's what happened tonight. They got the dude out of there. He knew the rules. He knew the boundaries. Now he's being mahalo'd. All right. Very good. We're on tomorrow with a big Friday show planned for you tomorrow on KFI AM 640.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.